Welcome to the Faith for All podcast. This week, we will be listening to a sermon from Pastor Dana O'Brien's sermon series on the book of James. This series ran in January and February 2024. We hope you enjoy this message and that it offers some meaning for your life.
Okay, was it only me? But did we all notice that the most important words in the lyrics were missing? The prayer for you part? A little prayer for you? But I bet that every single one of you knew what those words were. So, yes. So, say a little prayer for you. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Us saying prayers for each other. But first, our reading. And I'm going to start at James 5:13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land of Israel for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and then the heavens were opened, and rain came, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Once again, James is nice and soft and cozy. But, you know, we're going to learn that maybe there's a reason for that. That he's not so soft and cozy. Okay, so today, we're going to finish our look at the letter of James, okay? Now, as I said, during Lent, we're going to be focusing on some spiritual practices that are going to help us draw nearer to God. And that's the passage from James 4:8. Yes, 4:8. And so I hope that throughout Lent, we're going to hear echoes of James as we engage in these spiritual practices. We draw near to God. God draws nearer to us. But first, this morning, we're going to see how James pulls everything together by expanding his call to individual integrity, right, to encompass integrity as living as an entire faith community. Okay, we are all called to live in a community of integrity where we live out our identity. But first, as we've done every week, we'll recap where we've been so we can set the stage for today's reading. Now, remember that this letter was written by Jesus' younger brother, James, okay? And it's all about living out of our identity, where what we do reflects who we are, who God says we are. James does this, and hopefully by now you can repeat this stuff back to me. There's a reason I do this every week, because I want you to really integrate this into your life. James does this by focusing on two questions. The first is, who is God, right? Who is God? And in week one, James described our God who knows us, who walks with us, who is always working for our good, even especially in the very hard times in our lives. James then spends the rest of the letter, 4.5 chapters, on the second question, who are we? See, we don't know who we are until we first know who God is, because who we are is dependent upon who God is. It's who we are and whose we are, okay? So that second question, who are we? Who are we? And so he starts in Genesis, where God created all of us in God's very image. And then he takes a page out of his brother Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You know, figure they're brothers, right? They're close, they're tight, right? And he reminds us that we are the first fruits of God's kingdom. We are gifted and blessed by God to reflect that kingdom to others around us. That is our identity. That is who we are. I don't care what other people tell you. I don't care what you tell yourself. That is who you are, okay? And when we live lives of integrity, we are called to live out that identity wherever we find ourselves. To help us understand all this, we go to one of my all-time favorite analogies. The analogy which contrasts the person who lives with integrity with the person who doesn't live with integrity, okay? We look into a mirror. We see who we really are, right? We see ourselves as God's image bearers, as God's masterpiece, as God's first fruits of the kingdom. We see us as those people that God created us to be and calls us to be. But, you can't stand in front of the mirror forever, right? Much as some of us might want to. My daughter would have, but anyway, another story. And, We stand in front of the mirror, and then we step away, okay? And the question is, what happens when we step away? If we don't let that God-given identity shape how we live out in the world, then it's as if we walked away from that mirror and completely forgot who we were. Completely forgot who we were, right? And I continue to mention this mirror analogy week after week after week. You're probably sick of hearing it, but I do it for a reason, okay? Because I want us to remember this analogy long after this sermon series is over. I want each time you guys get up in the mirror and you go to the mirror, you get up in the morning, you go to the mirror before you set off your day, you know, to make sure your hair is combed, there's no food stuck in your teeth, that kind of stuff. I want you to also see yourselves as God sees you in that mirror. And so then when you walk away, as you head out for work for that day or whatever you've got planned, you know how to live because you know how you are, who you are, and you live as a child of God, okay? Every day, long after this sermon series is over. So back to James. 3 weeks ago, we looked at what it means to live out our identity and how we speak, right? And of course, as God's image bearers, we're called to speak life-giving words to everyone we know. And I know that's easier said than done. 2 weeks ago, we were reminded how we're called to live out our faith in actions that reflect God's kingdom values. We know this. Faith transforms us, right? Faith changes us. We become more like Jesus. We want more of God's will and less of our will. And that means that we live differently from the world around us. So people should be able to tell who we are, that we're followers of Jesus, by how we live. And if they can't tell us, then we're doing something wrong. Then we're not living the way Jesus calls us to live, okay? Then last week, we looked at what happens when we fail to live as the people that God called us to be, as people of integrity. When we walk away from the mirror and completely forget who the heck we are. What happens then, says James, is that we've exchanged God's wisdom for the world's wisdom, and nothing, absolutely nothing good comes of that. Instead, when I live, and I can say to me, when I live by the world's me-first values, when it's all about me and what I want and what I desire and what my freedoms are, when my will is done instead of God's will, the result is division. The result is conflict. The result is broken relationships all over the place between me and God and me and all of you guys out there, right? But, I love buts. Well, I mean, the word but. One T. And this is key, okay? Even when we choose poorly, even when we choose ourselves and the world over God's wisdom and God's values, God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. God continues to woo us like a lover. God continues to call us back. God continues to wait with open arms for us to repent, which just simply means to turn back. Remember who you are. To repent, to turn around, and to come home. Okay, can you imagine God waiting there with open arms for us to come home? And over these last weeks, I've pretty much talked about James' words as if they were directed solely to each of us as individuals. Okay, we live in an individualistic culture, and that's the way we think of things. At least that's the way I think of things. And certainly, James is calling each of us to live with integrity, right? He's calling each of us to live as the God-created persons that we are. But, another but, James is also very aware that he is writing to people in community, right? He's writing to people in his community, his communities. He's personally invested in these folks, right? 15 times in this letter, which is a lot more times in lots of Paul's lot longer letters, 15 times he addresses them as Adelphos, brothers and sisters. And the NRV, NRSV, sometimes translates it as beloved. How cool is that? Beloved, right? Beloved brothers and sisters. Remember, James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and these are his people. They were scattered because of persecution, so now they're all over the place. But those were his people. And you know, when you remember that, sometimes it may make it easier to figure out this harsh rhetoric, right? Because he's pretty harsh with them. But think about this. Aren't we often toughest on the families and those closest to us? So he's pretty tough on them because he knows that it's so important that they turn things around. So James knows that his Christian brothers and sisters, his beloved, that they're struggling. They're struggling both with outside pressures, with inside trials and divisions, a lot like many of us today, right? And in the midst of all that, they're trying to live. They're trying to live as the people God says they are. And James knows, as we all know, it's really hard. You guys, it's really, really hard to do that when you're trying to do it on your own. It's really hard to do that when you're trying to do it alone. It takes a village. It takes a village, right? It takes an entire community of faith to help and support and enable each of us as individuals to live as the people that God created us to be. So at the end of this letter, in just a few short verses, I just read 7 verses, James calls on those struggling communities that sometimes don't speak very well of each other or act in love toward each other. He calls them to imagine something entirely different. And that's what we're going to look at today. He calls them to see what they could be if they too lived with integrity, if they too lived as a community, the first fruits of God's kingdom. And he starts right where you have to start if you want anything to change. Right where you have to start, he starts with prayer. He starts with prayer because James knows what we know. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is really, really powerful. Now, James has already talked earlier in the letter about asking God for what we need, especially when we're suffering. But now his focus is much more expansive, okay? Engaging in prayer and praise in all circumstances. If you're in trouble, James says, pray. If things are going well and you're happy and cheerful, praise God. Whatever your circumstances, tell God about it. Bring it to God. Be in constant communication with the God who created you, the God who loves you, the God who walks with you and whose grace will empower you, each of you individually, and your entire community, all of us together, to do things we never thought possible. We never thought possible. And if you know, again, next week we're going to look at our annual meeting. You read those annual reports. Some of those things I never thought possible. Never. Now, over the years, we've talked about prayer a lot, okay? How prayer is really simply talking to God. That's all it is. It's a dialogue between us and God. It's how we would talk to anyone with whom we want to be in a relationship, right? And this is so basic. And it is so essential. I say it over and over and over again whenever I do premarital counseling with any couple. In order to have, and you guys know this, in order to have a good, strong relationship, you need to communicate, probably more than anything else. I mean, you need to love each other, but even that isn't going to hold you together if you don't communicate. You need to communicate. You need to talk to each other, okay? What think about this. What kind of relationship would it be if the only time you spoke to your spouse or your parent or your best friend or your kid, if the only time you spoke to them was when you wanted something, okay? What kind of relationship would that be? That would be some sorry relationship, right? But yet, you know where I'm going here, yet so often, that's exactly how we think of our relationship with God, right? Not as a two-way dialogue with each of us talking and listening and sharing and open, but instead, we treat God a lot like a vending machine, a genie in the bottle maybe, right? We go to God when we want something, and we figure if we say the right words, out will pop whatever it is we desire. But James wants so much more for us, so much more. Pray, sing, talk to God in any and all circumstances, he says. Our lives should involve constant communication with our Heavenly Father. Sound like any other rabbi we might know? Yeah, maybe, just a little bit. Because the more we talk to God, the more like God we become, and you know this in a marriage relationship. If you think back, the longer you guys live together, the more you talk, the more alike you become. They say it even happens with people and their pets. But anyway, that's another point. Anyway, the more we talk to God, the more like God we become. The more we want what God wants. The more we draw near to God, and the more God draws near to us. Then James seamlessly, he does it right in the middle of a sentence, he seamlessly transitions from our vertical relationship with God to our horizontal relationship with others, our life in a community of faith. Because, and it makes sense that he would do this, right? Because we know that these two things are integrally related. So if you're sick, James says, ask the leaders of the church to come and anoint you and pray for you. Ask for help is essentially what he's saying. And then a few verses later, he expands it beyond church leaders and beyond illness, and he exhorts everybody, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Confess your sins and pray. And then he takes it even further at the very end of the letter, and he says, members of the community, Hold each other accountable and call each other back when somebody has wandered from the truth. I love the way the Message puts it. He says, if you know people who've wandered from God's truth, don't write them off. Don't write them off. Go get them. Go get them. Now, I don't know about you, but James seems to be asking a lot here, okay? It's one thing to ask people in your faith community to pray for you. It's enough to ask for help when you need it, right? I think most of us can go ahead and do that. But it would be a lot harder, at least for me, to confess my sins to everybody else in the congregation. Maybe you guys are good at this. Nah. Holding others accountable and actually pointing out when they've wandered off. You guys, I don't know that I've ever done that with somebody. I don't know if I've ever called somebody else out. And I'm the pastor, okay? So I think this stuff is hard. But here's the thing, and this is really important. The onus, the responsibility here is not on the individual to ask for help or to confess his sins or to call somebody back. It's not the individual's responsibility to do that. For example, James is not telling us that we should confess our sins to our faith community if we happen to be part of a faith community that's judgmental and hypocritical. That would be bad. That would be really bad for us. Nobody would do that, right? What James is saying is he's trying to help us create the type of faith communities where these behaviors can happen. The type of faith communities where people can do these types of things and not get beamed, okay? Where one can ask for prayer or help, certain that they would lovingly receive it, okay? They can ask knowing that they're going to receive it because that's the kind of faith community we have. Where somebody could feel safe enough to confess their brokenness, knowing that they would be forgiven and continue to be welcomed and loved, okay? It's a safe place where even one could lovingly point out, could be accountable to each other, they could lovingly point out, and that lovingly pointed out would be thankfully accepted, a correction, and they could correct each other, right? Essentially, James is asking, what would a faith community of integrity look like? What would a faith community of integrity look like? I try and imagine that type of congregation because I don't think they exist anywhere. I see it as one characterized by all the things that James has been talking about when he's speaking to individuals these past 4.5 chapters. One that's characterized by love and commitment to each other, a really huge commitment to each other. I'm not going anywhere no matter how poorly you treat me, right? One in which trust between the community members is paramount, where gossip and bad-mouthing, that just doesn't happen. It is unheard of. People don't know how to do that. Where forgiveness is freely given. Where instead of judgment and condemnation, everyone embraces the broken people around them and they welcome them, and then they willingly share stories of their own brokenness. So people know, I'm not in this alone. We're all broken, right? We're all hurting, right? It would be a community filled with peacemakers who lived with humility, people who freely and eagerly shared their resources with each other. It's what a community of faith looks like when it lives out its God-given identity, right? It's as if all of us, and there's a whole boatload of us up there, it would be as if all of us here at Cross of Glory looked into that mirror together. It had to be a big mirror, right? We look into that mirror together, and we see who God created us to be as church, okay? And then we step away, and we live out. We live out that identity as a community of faith in this place, right? Brothers and sisters, beloved, right? As God's church right here on the corner of 163rd and Cedar, we should be the most humble, loving, just, forgiving, peaceful, gracious, and giving community on the entire planet. On the entire planet. Granted, we have a ways to go. Okay? We have a ways to go on living that way, both in here and out there. But that's what we could look like. Indeed, that's how God sees us. That's how God sees us. And that's what we could look like. And that's what God will graciously empower us to be like if we're willing to embrace more of God's will and God's values and less of our own, right? And less of our own. Again, and James has been saying this for the last 5 weeks. He's been saying it for the last 5 weeks. And I send you with this. Being followers of Jesus, living in ways that reflect God's love to others in what we say, in what we do, both individually and as a congregation, I'm running out of fingers, it's all really pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's not necessarily easy, but it's simple. We just need to live as the people God already says that we are. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you're able to bring some of these concepts into your life. Come back next week for another episode of Faith for All. Faith for All was created by Cross of Glory Church. If you'd like more information on Cross of Glory, please visit our webpage at crossofglory.com, where you can learn more about the church, see our upcoming events, and watch previous services and sermons. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Everyone, and we do mean everyone, is welcome to join us at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning for worship on our website, Facebook, YouTube, or in person at 14719 West 163rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends, family, and anyone else you can think of about it. Faith for All is available on Podbean, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find podcasts. Todd Mazera created our original music. John Uzzardo engineered the sound. Jeff Wanderson handled the production duties. And I'm your friend and humble announcer, Andrew Morin. Thank you for joining us.